Blog Talk Radio.
His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz.
It is indeed my honor and great joy and privilege to be invited by Brother and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is one of the greatest student leaders of all time.
I'm talking about terrorism now. We want a war on terrorism. The war on terrorism should have started 400 years ago. Bring the flag, brother. Bring the flag.
Bring the flag.
Bring. Because I'm here to tell you that false patriotism will not get you out of this. Holding a bandana flag around your head will not get you out of this. Huh? Flag on your antenna in your car will not get you out of this. You might be saying, God bless America. But when did America ever bless God? You might be saying, God bless America. But God might be damning America at this very hour.
What's all this shit I see on here about harassment and all that bullshit, rap for power? You sumbitches, get a goddamn job and make a constructive citizen out of yourself and stop all this bullshit. You wouldn't have to have no fucking rally for power. You got that message, motherfucker?
Black power, black power, black power and more, black power to my people. This is your brother, your soldier in arms and comrade in battle. This is Sean Kwali. I am happy to be able to broadcast live once again to you from right here in the hills and the smells of North America. As always, I count this a privilege. I count this a joy. I count this an esteemed honor. I count this a blessing to be able to talk to you from this platform, this revolutionary, bold radio broadcast that we have established now, known as Black Power Radio. I say tell a neighbor, tell a friend that Black Power Radio is live on the air once again. As always, I open up this show giving thanks to the God of our forefathers and foremothers, the Black God of our forefathers and foremothers, who has allowed us to see another day, allowed us to come to birth, come to being, allowed us to have expression and form, and allowed us to be ourselves. I'm so thankful to the God, by whatever name that you use and whatever name that you're comfortable with, whatever language that you speak, I am thankful to that God. Whether you call God a Kulu Kulu, or whether you call God Yemen Yah, or whether you call God Obachila, or whether you call that being, that divine being, Oshun or Ogun, or whether you say Amun or Amun-Ra, or whether you say Allah or Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, or whether you say Allah who came in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, or whether you just say Allah, whether you just say God, or whether you say Lord or Lord God Almighty, whether you say Jehovah or whatever you say that your language is, that you use as your language to call God, God is the divine supreme being. I'm thankful to that God for blessing me with your presence and for being here with us tonight as we give thanks, as we are one day past the birth anniversary and celebration of a beautiful, bold black man who stood up in the hills of North America and looked these pigs in the eye, as he called them, looked the pig in the eye and said that you would no longer abuse black people and that you would no longer mistreat us. We are one day from the celebration of the birth of a bold black man who was the co-founder of the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. He's the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense founder, Minister, and Dr. Huey P. Newton. And we're definitely thankful and we give honor and praise to a black man who stood up here in the hills and smells of North America, who told us that his purpose on this planet was to give this white man hell from the cradle to the grave, from the moment that he opened his eyes to the moment that he closed his eyes. He said his purpose was to give him hell from the cradle to the grave, and that's what he did. We're talking about the Black Power General, the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, and I'm proud and thankful to represent to you a beautiful black man who is standing up in the hills of North America and ain't taking no stuff. He ain't punked out. He ain't sissified. He ain't sold out. He ain't watered down. Ain't no cut to him. He's pure, raw, and uncut black man. I'm talking about the longest standing Panther chairman of any regiment, the brother who we affectionately know of as the Attorney at War, a five-star general who I'm happy to bring to you now for Black Power Radio. My brothers and my sisters, help me to welcome to this radio broadcast our national chairman of the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. This is Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. Black Power, Brother Chairman, welcome to the radio broadcast.
All right, Black Power, dear Minister Sean, my honor to be on with you and my honor to hear your strong words, as usual. Giving honor to God, and I bear witness that regardless to land, label, or language, that there is but one God. And in the name and in the legacy of all the ancestors and revolutionaries that have stood for our people, we come tonight. So we come in the name of Harriet Tubman. We come in the name of Nat Turner. We come in the name of Marcus Mosiah Garvey. We come in the name of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. We come in the name of Shaka Zulu. We come in the name of Chester Wayo. We come in the name of Queen Nzinga. We come in the name of Queen Ya Asantewaa. We come in the name of Kwame Nkrumah. We come in the name of Minister Malcolm X. We come in the name of Patrice Lumumba. We come in the name of Stephen Biko. We come in the name of the Black Panther Party of the 60s. We come in the name of the Honorable Kwame Ture. We come in the name of all of those in the Black Liberation Army, even those who struggled in the Civil Rights Movement, all who struggled. We come in a line of God and the struggle tonight, and that's what we're about on Black Power Radio, a black God who intends to put the black man and woman in power all over the earth and to remove our enemies from power. And we're here to organize to make it happen. And so good evening on Black Power Radio here Monday night. Good evening to you all. I am your brother. I am your chairman. And I am the student of a bold, bald-headed black man who I met as a student organizer, and he lit my fire and woke me up and trained me and drilled me and made me into what I am and to what I hope by God's grace that I am becoming. I speak of my mentor, Minister and Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, to whom praise is due forever. We got to move fast, but we got to be clear tonight about what we're doing. Happy to be on tonight, and I'm going to bring guests right on. Our subject tonight is South Africa. Our subject tonight is Azania. Our subject tonight is liberation, revolution on the continent of Africa from the Cape to Cairo, with a focus down on the Cape, with a focus on South Africa. And why is Chairman Malik Zulu Shabazz and the new Black Panther Party taking a mighty delegation to the continent? That'll be the subject matter. That'll be the question and answer session. And that damn sure will be this telethon, where we raise some money and put some green in this black power machine tonight. And so who I want to bring on, you all who are listening, you already know. And for those who don't know and who are listening in for the first time, there are some who are listening in from across the globe. They are listening in now tonight from Africa. and taking an increased interest in Black Power Radio because we're talking more and more about Africa. They're taking an interest here. And so tonight, we're going to have very special guests coming up at the bottom of the hour. Our guest, our brother from South Africa and from the Pan-African Student Movement in South Africa and from the Pan-African Congress in South Africa, our dearly beloved brother and comrade, Chris Sankara. He'll be on the line to tell you himself about what he and his comrades have gone about laying out for our schedule and for our trip into Azania, South Africa. You won't have to just hear it from me, Malik Zulu Shabazz, or Minister Sean Kwali. You'll hear it from our hosts themselves, all the way from South Africa, what they have laid out for us day after day, night after night for our arrival. You will hear in just a few moments also, so you will gain more knowledge about South Africa and the history of South Africa and the history of the Black Panther Party and the history of our movement from the west to the east. You will hear from one of my advisors and our advisors, a mentor of mine, a man that found me as a college student on the campus of Howard University, and he and his comrades and his allies and he himself have taken me under his and their wings. They are the students of a man who I heard that woke me up while a college student, because I was in the audience when I heard Kwame Ture, who was known in the 60s as that radical firebrand, Stokely Carmichael. I heard Kwame Ture on my college campus, and I met the dedicated and the diligent and the well-organized All African People's Revolutionary Party. And so I got good news for those who are listening, and we need to let you know that the works of Kwame Ture, who was under the vision of Dr. Kwame Nkrumah and the Honorable Sekou Touré, that those works continue today in the organization of the All African People's Revolutionary Party, GC, that the AAPRPGC, GC meaning Guinea-Conakry, GC meaning tying to that root there right on the continent of Africa. And from that organization, we have Brother Bob Brown. Bob Brown, who, yes, is on my advisory council for all of those who think that Malik Zulu Shabazz just makes up his own decisions all the time. It's not so. Yes, there's a black God that talks to me all the time, but I'm also guided by the ancestors. And I'm also guided by my advisors. And any sensible black man or leader has advisors that he should consult with. As I do not represent myself, I represent the aims and the objectives of 40 to 50 million in the hills of North America and billions around the earth. So without any further talk, listen in. Get out your pencils and notepads. And I want you to hear now from a premier organizer in SNCC. Of the 1960s. It was called the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, but it damn sure wasn't nonviolent. And some of the premier organizer who helped organize the Black Panther Party and organized the Black Panther Party of Chicago and recruited Fred Hampton into the Black Panther Party of Chicago. Inquiring minds need to listen in if you want to know about my guest that I'm about to bring on in a few moments. He is a man that knows all about the rebellions or the so-called riots because he was the right-hand man of Kwame Ture or Stokely Carmichael, like I was the right-hand man to Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad. He is one now who has extensive experience around the globe and extensive experience in South Africa with the elections and organizing campaigns in apartheid era, post-apartheid era, and into the era of so-called independence. And so not only does he represent the AAPRPGC, the All African People's Revolutionary Party, GC, but he's also a member in good standing of the PAC, the Pan-African Congress of Azania. Enough said, I want you to bring on my brother and my man, who I'm trying. He has not committed as of yet, but I'm trying to get him to come with us to South Africa. And I'm hoping that the PAC and those in the student movement in South Africa are listening, that they will stand up and they will say tonight, yes, we want Malik Zulu Shabazz in the new Black Panther Party, but we also want Bob Brown and the AAPRPGC and their PAC member to return home. Bob Brown, are you on the line?
How you doing, son?
Go ahead, Bob Brown. Talk to me. I know I'm taking a long time, but I got to bring you on right.
I'm an old Panther, an ex-Panther. Is Chris on the phone?
I think he's listening. Minister Sean, answer that question. And if he's not, let's get him on. Answer the question, Minister Sean, please.
Yes, sir. He's not on the line yet. We're working to get him on, Brother Bob.
It's late in South Africa tonight, and I was stolen from South Africa, and I'm not going back to South Africa unless the youth of South Africa want me to come. So I think it is critical to put Chris on the phone. I know it's a 6 or 7 hour, you know, difference, but I'm on this phone tonight reluctantly.
Bring him on the line right now, Sean. Don't have him delayed. Bring him on with Bob right now.
So we can know what we're getting into.
Yes, sir.
It's a 6 or 7 hour dialogue and different.
He's ready. We can get him on now. You just hang for a minute. He's supposed to come on in 12 minutes anyway, so we're going to get him on right now.
We'll put him on right now.
We'll put him on right now. So just maybe cover another. Let me ask you, I don't know
Tarzan Jane coming to Africa.
Well, before we get to that, let's talk about Bob Brown.
Put Chris on the phone.
You're getting him on the phone, but this test going to take a minute. Now, let me ask you who the hell you are.
I'm a kid.
Now, what we need to know is, who is Bob Brown, or am I a liar? Are you the right-hand man to Kwame Ture?
No, I'm not no right-hand man, because Kwame has many right-hand men. I don't do that.
Did you organize?
I'm a socialist. I don't play right-hand politics.
Did you organize with Kwame Ture?
I organized with Kwame Ture, and you don't want to go do that history.
When did you first meet him?
I met Kwame Ture in 1966, about 2 weeks after he said Black Power. He came to Chicago, and I cussed his ass out.
You're from Chicago?
No, I'm not from Chicago. I'm from South Africa. But I am born in Chicago. And I don't like Mayor Daley. I don't like Bill Dawson. I don't like Rahm Emanuel. And I don't like Barack Obama.
I heard that you were going to be speaking in Chicago this Friday. Is that true
or
false?
Yes, I am. I'm going to speak. Thanks to you for giving me voice. Because the Africans in Chicago, whom I know, who I created their jobs and their pensions, don't want to give me voice. And I'm coming into Chicago with you on the new Black Panther Party. And y'all are empowering me and giving me voice in my village. You know, I'm a member of the Auschwitzville chapter of the Pan-Africanist Congress of Zambia. Auschwitzville is a small suburb of Pretoria. Chris knows. I am the founder of the Black Panther Party in Chicago. I recruited Fred Hampton. And if he didn't listen to me, he wouldn't be dead tonight. I recruited Bob Rush. And if he listened to me, he would not be a congressman tonight. Nobody wants to hear my voice in Chicago because I tell the truth. And the Black Panther Party has honored me by giving me voice tomorrow night. And I will be very respectful. I won't cuss. A new Black Panther Party program. I won't discuss Barack Obama, who is a lame duck sucker, who won't even be remembered in history. I'm coming to my village. Barack Obama's written in history as having organized that territory. but they don't write the history of the Black Panther Party in that same block, in that same community. Even those who claim to be Black Panther Party don't know our history. We will teach them. We will teach them. And we'll be quiet. We'll be honorable. We will be respectful. I'm so honored to come back to Chicago to teach the history of the old Panthers and the new ones.
Now, let me ask
on the line.
You're going to be speaking in Chicago on Friday. I am going to be speaking on this platform with you. There's going to be a webcast, a worldwide webcast.
And we're trying to hook it up intergalactically.
Do you have a
so we can have the youth of Tunisia, the Arab Spring.
Do you have
we can have the youth of Europe. So we're trying.
Do you have a website?
The All African People's Revolutionary Party, GC. It is called AAPRP-GC.org. Unfortunately, like so many organizations, like PAC, we are split in so many little small factions. We have a history with Mangaliso Sobukwe and all the leadership. And then when Chris comes on, we'll talk about that. We come to South Africa to beg on our knees. Here's Lesu, my Africa. Here's Lesu, my Africa. There is no need for us to come to South Africa to perpetuate disunity. The youth of South Africa, the PAC youth of South Africa, who have created so many crises for the apartheid Boer regime. If we come to South Africa, we demand unity. We demand on our knees respect for the dead. What happened to Uncle Joe's funeral? I want to get the report. I hear disrespect in the PSC family. We can disagree with each other, but we will never disagree the dead. I want to know, because I cannot come to disrespect Uncle Joe. My leg don't know what they're getting into, but the Zulus and the elephants and the tigers are coming to struggle with each other. We're coming to sue for unity. You with me, Malik?
Yes, sir. Let me ask you a quick question while we get Brother Chris on. Are you still with this All African People Revolutionary Party stuff? You still believe in that stuff?
You see, it's a complicated question that only Chris can help us with. When Kwame Nkrumah held the All African People's Revolutionary Conference, the All African People's Conference of December 58, Mangaliso Sobukwe and all the people were there. I'm still with that. Bella Makeba, my sister-in-law, issues, but I'm still with that. We have to discuss it. We are not children who have been born of a womb, irrespective of development of humanity. There are differences, there are disagreements. We don't have to be disagreeable, but I want to know how I'm coming into South Africa. Because I'm not coming with Mandela or Winnie. I'm not coming with Barack Obama or Michelle either. Israelito, I come with the true people of Sobukwe. I come with the true youth of Azania, or I do not have to come. And Chris knows, we can discuss it. And I'm honored to come with the new Black Panther Party. Kwame Ture, and our faction built the old Black Panther Party. It is Kwame Ture who told Khalil Muhammad when he was set down in the Nation of Islam to do the Black Panther Party. So we are honored to come with the new Black Panther Party. We are honored to come with the new Black Panther Party. But we are old Panthers. We are ex-Panthers. We came down the history. We cannot go back up. Israelita, my Africa, we come South Africa.
For the Chris thing.
Hey, hold one second. We got something. What you got, brother spokesman?
Yes, sir. We got brother Chris Sankara live on the line right now.
Okay, let's try to get his volume up and just right. All right. But Chris, are you there?
Yes, I'm there, my brother. Yes, I'm there.
All right. Well, look, dear brothers and sisters, we're going to have an interesting conversation tonight. We have on the line here our brother, our comrade in the liberation struggle, and one that we're getting to know better, even from way across the water. I'm talking about our brother and comrade, Chris Sankara, from the Pan-Africanist Congress of Azania and the Pan-African Student Movement in South Africa. And we're honored to have him on. And I still have Brother Bob Brown on. So let me allow them to greet each other.
Israel to my Africa.
Israel to my Africa. How are you, Nobosan?
I'm okay.
All right. Well, we're going to have this roundtable here for the next half hour or so. And, then we'll open up the phone lines. But what we want to do is to allow Brother Chris now to let us know more about who he is and his history in the movement and his organizing in Azania, South Africa, and how he came about to invite the new Black Panther Party when the word is starting to get out. So let's talk to you, Brother Chris.
Malik, can I also ask two other points? What is the history, what is the current dynamic of the Azanian Revolution? And how can we Africans who were stolen 500, 600 years ago, how can we re-enter Africa as a positive force, not a neocolonial force, to help them on the ground?
But then what we'll do is this, Brother Chris, just take my one question here and tell us, who is Chris Sankara and how you came about to be involved in the Pan-Africanist Congress and how you get to invite the new Black Panther Party? And then I'm going to let you answer those other two questions direct from Bob Brown. But come on, Brother Chris, we love you. Thank you for firing us up and inviting us and organizing a heck of a schedule. Talk to us and tell us about who you are.
First of all, I would like to greet the listeners, everyone at home and diaspora, before I can say anything. Since I knew myself, when I grew up, I was born in Soweto, like anybody else here in Soweto. We grew up like normal kids, when one started to grow up, we find ourselves. So when sometimes you go to school, you find yourself at a very young age. When you go to school, you find yourself sometimes you are being chased by police. You find yourself being chased by soldiers, and at that time one did not understand what was happening. For instance, if you go in groups in South Africa at that time, you find yourself being chased away, and you couldn't understand what was happening. You understand? Now, after some time, when somebody things became worse at the particular time, because when you for instance, when you go somewhere with a group as friends, and then you find some white guys chasing you or beating you up, and you are very young, you don't understand what is happening around one, and this particular kind of human beings who look white, they are chasing you, you know. So, but then when things change, some people were killed, and some people were, you know, some people were put into jails. And you still ask yourself, what is happening around you? You know, but when now I realize sometimes that no, things, we as black people, things were bad for us, and at that time, when one has to look at things around, and I realize no, this kind of human beings who are white, they were you know because at that time I couldn't understand what was happening, and when I realized no, this kind of human beings, this kind of people, when they see us as groups, they don't feel happy. Suppose, for instance, if you go to school alone, they will leave you. But if you are two or three or four, they will chase you. And you know, guys, no man, these things are becoming worse. So at that time, then I discovered there were some strikes around, you know, in Soweto, and we find ourselves fighting with police, and police shooting at us and stuff. Now I realize from some guys, they came in from the PAC at that time. So one of the guys were from Robben Island, and you know, we sit down and he told us, no, this is the situation, guys. I started to be conscientized, to be politically conscientized. And he started telling us about, you know, about the history of a white man and the history of us as black people, what is happening around. And I started now to understand, no, okay, this is what is happening, in fact, and that's why this thing, things what is happening. The white men came here in Africa to come and colonize us and all those things. When I went to when I was about 12 years.
Now tell me, what you say you're about 12. About what year is this?
I'm not sure about what year, but I remember I was 12 years and I was going to school and I was arrested. And when I was in some groups, with a group of children, and we found ourselves in jail. Some guys were beaten up there, and now I became so angry because these people now they are maltreating us. And okay, we stayed some few days in jail, and we went out, and then when I came back, now I started realizing to realize I have to take a decision now. I have to participate somewhere. I have to do something to fight against these people. These things are getting worse now, because every time our people, we live like dogs. Wherever we go, we live like dogs. Then it's when I started participating in the politics, and I found myself, you know, joining the PAC. But at that time, I did not join officially. When I was in 1985, at that time PAC was unbanned, ANC PAC was banned, and ANC was banned at that time. So there was some student uprising in around our area, and then I started now participating I became involved in politics. So I went to boarding school. I went to boarding school and at that time, and then I joined the PAC, even though it was banned. Remember, PAC was banned at that time, was banned in 1960. 1952, it was banned at that time. So we're not, people were not allowed to speak about politics, maybe to join any movement. But then there were some underground structures which were involved. So at that time, and then when I went to boarding school, some guys now started having some political classes, and we organized ourselves as students.
Okay, well, hold
and then
on.
After that,
let me explain. Let me catch the audience up a little bit. Dear brothers and sisters who are listening in the audience, just pay careful attention. This is our brother Chris Sankara, who's calling from Azania, South Africa. He has a little bit of a different accent than us. I want you to listen very carefully.
Same slave master, we're just country cockney cousins.
Right. But I want you to listen very carefully. He is detailing his life and how he grew up under the apartheid regime in South Africa and how he came to consciousness under the oppression of the white man, and how after growing up and then attending boarding school, he came into contact with his organization, the organization that's inviting us, the Pan-Africanist Congress of Azania, which was banned by the white man of South Africa. All of the political activity was banned, but they kept organizing underground. This is Brother Chris Sankara. Y'all listen very carefully and be patient. Go right ahead, Brother Chris.
Yes, and then when I went to boarding school, I officially joined the PAC. That was 1985. I officially joined the PAC, but it was underground, and we started organizing ourselves militarily and otherwise. So at that time, at school, I organized a student group. I organized a student group because when we find ourselves at boarding school, I organized a student group because they were protected. The boarding school itself was like jail. There were soldiers around us. We were not allowed to go outside, and there were a lot of restrictions even at school under apartheid. So we couldn't even the paid school fees and the stuff. And we're paying a lot of school, and we're treated as half human beings. They were like in jail, but we're at school. So I organized a group of school there in the boarding school, where we launched an anti apartheid forces there, which would be not to fall under not to be guarded by police and soldiers there at school. So I organized an uprising there. That is where I started realizing myself that I have a head allergy, because what happens that we raised against those police and soldiers, and we chased them at school, and then after that we ran out of school. We started burning all the shops that were around. Some of them were owned by white people. We were owned by white people, and we started burning them and stuff. Only discover later, a week after I was after this incident happened, because some of the part of the school that were inside the school, there were some offices where some of the some of the people they were using it for the police. So we banned that offices, and after some time, I was wanted. Now I went back to Soweto, because that was when boarding school. I was in Northern, at that time it was called Northern Transvaal. It's called Limpopo. I went back to Soweto. The police were looking for me. Now when the police were looking for me, we had some underground structures there in Soweto. We learned some underground structures where I was trained by former guerrillas from APLA, and we started organizing to attack some police there. And after some time, we did some little bit of operation, but I was not trained. I was internally praying, and the police were looking for me everywhere. In fact, I was in the police file. I was one of the people who were wanted around South Africa. Now, and then in 19... 1987, that's where I crossed the country. I went into exile. I went to Botswana. I traveled more than because I didn't have I was alone. Some guys give me some information that I should go to Botswana, and when they left me somewhere in Ramathabama border gate. But when I was in Ramathabama border gate, there I get lost to went to Botswana. I found myself in Botswana. I stayed there for more than 4 days without eating. And because the information that I had in me, I had to throw it away. I didn't want the police to get the document that I was having. I didn't want when people catch me, the police catch me, I don't have to have that kind of information. So I was just using my head to travel, only to find out that I'm lost there. But I stayed there for 4 days in Botswana. And I found some old men there who assist me, who give me some direction and some food. And I took some. I took a week traveling to Botswana until I reached Botswana. That is where I reached Botswana. I found some guys there whom they directed me to the office of the PAC. Then I was able to find to Botswana. Then from there, I stayed in Dugwe in refugee camp. It was bad there. I found a group of guys there in Botswana. We stayed there for more than 6 months. Things were bad. We didn't have enough food to eat and stuff. Then after we stayed for more than 6 months, after 6 months we went straight to we flight straight to Tanzania. That's where I find myself. In Tanzania, in exactly 1987, I was in Tanzania. Then from there, we stayed some time there in a camp there where give you some orientation, some political orientation, and then we stayed for more than I think 3 months there. For some political orientation, then from there we went to a military camp. The way I received my full training there in Tanzania. Then from there we traveled. We also went. I went to Uganda. I got some training. I also went to Guinea to got some training. I did some also some few for some VIP protection in other countries like Egypt. I went to many countries, in fact, when I was in exile to do some training. But I spent most of my time in Tanzania. So that's
Tanzania, is that right?
Yes, in Tanzania, yes. In Bagamoyo, yes.
Brothers and sisters, pay careful attention. As we proceed through this interview, Brother Chris Sankara is telling you about how he was trained in some of the frontline states that were fighting the apartheid white racist regime in the late 1980s, Botswana, Tanzania, and even other African states that are not frontline states, but that they were frontline against this apartheid regime, Uganda, Guinea. And then you should connect the dots when we told you that in the late 1970s, or in the mid-1970s, when the Nation of Islam had fell, that Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad had went to Uganda to study with Idi Amin to help him in his preparations to fight against the apartheid regime. Go right ahead, Brother Chris. I'm sorry for interrupting you. Then I'm going to turn the interview over to Bob Brown. Go right ahead, comrade.
Yes. After receiving some training and I became a commander, I became an instructor, I started training people myself and it was a very interesting, we had, our training was very serious. Actually, I can tell you now, I doubt if there were guys like us who were given training because, for instance, for you to complete a normal training, you had to finish the whole 12 6 months training. You have to be trained guerrilla warfare, conventional warfare, all kinds of war. Even after that, you have to go and do many intensive training. It was not easy, my brother. But because we understood that to fight the enemy, you need to be fit more than the enemy, physically, psychologically, spiritually, you need to be fit in order to fight the enemy. The way we train, the way we run, the way we do things, we had to do it more than the enemy itself. So our training was not an easy training, but it was a difficult. But because we knew that we had to face the enemy that is well equipped with every equipment, we need to be super fit. So our training was very good. It is for these reasons most of our cadres were very fit, and even when we came inside the country, all actions or all armed wings of all actions which were taken by APLA cadres was very successful. Most of our tags, our things that we did inside the country in Azania were successful. It is for this reason most of the, even in South African history, you can go all over, you'll find that APLA, Azanian People's Liberation Army, they were the most effective in guerrilla warfare. Even the ANC couldn't fit our standard, because the way we did things, we were committed, we were super fit. If you can speak even today, the discipline, the people, the fitness into people, psychologically, physically, and otherwise, our guys were fit. So the training that we had, it was a very good training. It is for these reasons, when we went inside the country, when Commander Sabelo started intensifying his forces inside the country, I remember the 1990, the year of the Great Storm, where 1993, the year of the Great Storm, when Sabelo Puma decided he wants to apply a Grey of the Grossom. APLA was hitting everywhere in South Africa. So all the operations.
Abla, can you explain
so
that?
Now what happens? Sorry.
APLA.
You're saying?
Azania's People's Liberation Army. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yes, Azania's People's Liberation Army is the armed wing of
APLA,
the African Congress of the Azania.
Right,
yes,
here.
APLA, APLA. Yes, so we were so fit. As a result, the white men realized now things are getting bad, so they had to start negotiating with Mandela's, and that's when they realized the white men decided no, they have to do something because they're going to lose this war. APLA and the PAC, they are all out now. They decided to use Mandela. That's when things changed. When Mandela started negotiating with them, and that's where our struggle was hijacked, because they realized there's no way PAC is going to win this war. And as a result, our struggle was hijacked. And then they started negotiating, and when they started negotiating, they started so-called releasing all political prisoners. And when Mandela went out of jail, he started negotiating with other African states. He told them, no, there's no need for people to fight. There's no need for people to fight. The people of South Africa need peace. And as a result, the OU, our African leaders in the OU, OAU by then, started to stop our support. They stopped to support us financially and militarily. We find ourselves in those countries without even the countries decided not to support us, and they said we must go home. You understand? So we find ourselves not even having a place to do our training, to intensify our armed struggle. So we were forced as PAC to withdraw and have Plan B to come
home.
Hold
on one second. Let's pause right there.
Yes.
If you can. Because I want you to come in here, Brother Bob, on this interview. Because that's a good point to pause.
Brothers and sisters, I want you to understand. Let Chris finish.
Right ahead.
And then if we have time, I will come in. We need to heal. We're not Tarzans and Janes coming to Africa to free the natives. Let Chris, finish.
Okay, well let me say something then, and then I'm gonna allow him to finish. For those here who are on these phone lines whose reception may not be that good.
That's a technological problem. We should not confuse technology with revolution.
We got to get some technology across if it's going to be some revolution.
Give them nothing.
We are at the stage. I want y'all to...
We got Chris on the phone. Let him finish.
Continue to finish.
You have to do what you have to do to moderate it and move it forward.
Okay, let me say this, and then we're going to continue to hear. Let me say this. I want you to understand what he has told you. That at the time that Nelson Mandela was released from prison, that the white man in South Africa, the apartheid regime, was on the verge of physically losing the war on military terms. And then they let out some political prisoners, including Nelson Mandela, who began to convince the entire nation that the struggle was over. And convinced the OAU, the Organization of African Unity, that the struggle was over, which dried up the support from the revolutionaries who were fighting on a military level on the front lines. And so he had to go to, as he says, a plan B. And we come right back to you, sir. Go right ahead, Brother Chris.
Yes, when the white men or the apartheid forces realized now they are about to lose the war because ABLA was everywhere, and they decided to have a plan B, which was to negotiate with Mandela, and I quote one of the statements of in fact the negotiations started early 1982 when Mandela went out, but it did not go well because it was at that time it was P.W. Botha. And then from there, P.W. Botha left, and then F.W. de Klerk started negotiating again for the second time. And because Mandela went out of jail in 1982, in fact, from Robben Island, where he was kept in a house, in a nice house, with a jacuzzi, with a royal house which was given by the government of South Africa. The house, Vita Fetzer house, where he stays. He had a swimming pool, he had a TV, he had a fax, he had everything. But he was staying there. He could travel Mandela, in fact. He could travel without even people realizing that Mandela is traveling because he had all the visitors he wants to have. His wife and children could go and visit him. Anyone who wanted to visit him under strict laws of South Africa, he could go and see him. So Margaret Thatcher could go and see him. Many people could go and see him, in fact. So Mandela already was free in 1982. So the for him to stay there, while he was trained to become what he is, what he became after that, they were preparing him for the so-called New South Africa. So when Bitley came in, he continued with the negotiations, and he took Mandela out of jail. And when Mandela went out of jail, he knew what he was programmed. What should be done. And one of the issues was to go and talk to all these African state head of states to say, guys, we must stop supporting anyone who's fighting, who is for armed struggle. That was the PAC that was on the forefront. So. He went to all African states. He convinced them. Some of them, they were even given some monies, and because Mandela at that time had money, some of the head of states were given some money. We were even the OAU. Some of the people were actually, if you can be investigated, they were bribed because PAC was forced to withdraw the armed struggle without because even then we did not have a place to do some training. So PAC was forced to even itself to withdraw the arms because all the money, all the channels, all the money and the training, anyone who supported the PAC then, he was forced to withdraw because Mandela claimed that people of South Africa didn't want to fight. Therefore, people must stop supporting anything that is for fighting, which is going to shed a bloodshed. So PAC found itself without any support. Even the countries that used to support it, you were forced not to support. So we were forced to withdraw, and we have plan B, and which was to come back here, and because we didn't have any military support or financial support, anything, so we can come back there and have our own plan B. So that's what actually happened. That caused this situation. And in fact, all the things that are happening today, it was things that were signed by Mandela, even when he was so-called in jail in Posmo, in Victor Sassar House, because there was an agreement which they signed, which we don't know what was the agreement, but clearly now you can see for yourself that Mandela was given a constitutional power, but without political power. So our people were given a vote, but and freedom was kept, of which is the land. Freedom was kept. Even today, as we speak, we know that our land we have not received our land, but ANC has been kept as an administrator of the apartheid, and the people who were in the apartheid are still keeping the power, which is the land, which is the power of everything, and our people are in poverty today. So this is what actually happened. So the situation has not changed in South Africa at all. What was happening? The only difference is that there's no white men chasing you like before. The only time now is that they are having everything, but our people are in poverty. In fact, our people are landlessness, our people are homelessness, our people are joblessness. That they are marginalized everywhere. The poverty is same. And the only thing that they've got the right to is to go and vote, and then those fraudulent vote, and then they have nothing. So things have not changed. So we are in another era of struggle where we need to change. We also need to work with other African liberation front where we need to take our struggle forward. It is for this reason I've just contacted the Black Panther. We spoke to the ZANU-PF. And the ZANU-PF understood, because they are still in this almost in the same situation where Zimbabwe itself is being blackmailed or is being sanctioned because of its stand as a liberation movement, of its stand to take the land back to its rightful owners. So, but here, the difference is that South Africa is not in government. I mean, PAC is not in government. And all PAC members are marginalized. We still have our political prisoners in jail, but no one says anything about the political prisoners in jail. We in the PAC, if you are known that you're in the PAC, our people now, some of the freedom fighters who were in exile, some of them, they don't even have any families. They've become homeless. They don't have place to stay. They are hungry. They are what? It's poverty, especially if you are a PAC member. You have been marginalized. But moreover, our people here, there's no changes. Things are still the same. So why are we called on African liberation front like the Black Panther, the ZANU? We realize our struggle is not only our struggle, but the struggle of our own people. Whether at home or in diaspora, we need to form a liberation front, because right now, South Africa is not alone. South Africa is the ANC itself is supported by the Americans, supported by the British, it's supported by everyone. Even when they go to election, they get billions of millions of rands of dollars to do whatever they want in terms of running the state to remain the neocolonial state. Now, with the PAC, we realize that we need to form a liberation front with all the African liberation movement, whether at home and diaspora. We have some alliance with AZAPO. We have some little bit of alliance with SOPA. But still, it is not enough. We need to have a worldwide struggle, because, like I've said, our struggle is not only... The struggle of the PAC is not the struggle of South Africa, but the struggle of the continent. We want to free the whole, we want to see the whole continent being united, being one. Not only in the continent, but we also want to see our brothers in diaspora who are having the same problems that we, or more or less the same problems. We must help each other to fight this enemy, because this enemy is playing games here. They are dividing our people. They confuse our people through media. They do what? So we need to have one struggle. We need to have form one liberation front where we will channel the way forward, where how to fight this imperialism, because this imperialism is everywhere. It's not only here. It's America. It's in UK. It's in all over Africa. You see how Africa is now. We can go to Mali. Mali, what is happening? What is happening in Egypt today? What is happening in Libya today? What is happening in Somalia today? What is happening in everywhere in Africa? It's the same. So our struggle, if we fight as PAC, we are not going to win the struggle. But if we fight as all African in the Roman diaspora, our struggle, our unity is going to be easy for us to with unity we have strength. But without unity, we cannot win this war. This war it needs all of us.
Let me ask you a question. As you speak such timely words about unity, about a common liberation front, and how the problem in Azania, South Africa, is really a worldwide problem. Bob, are you still on?
A worldwide problem with capitalism or socialism.
Let's try to, Bob, help us carry the interview forward and try to put the visit of the new Black Panther Party to Azania into context.
There are moments in history. I'm on.
Yes, sir.
There are moments in history, according to Ahmed Sekou Ray and Kwame Nkrumah, that are hard to discern yet fatal if let slip by. There are also moments in history that are pregnant with possibilities for the leap. I heard this conversation, and I can roll it several ways. I know the treachery and the honor and the dignity of South Africa. And I know the treachery and the dishonor and the ill dignity of Africans in America. Am I being asked to come to South Africa to cut a fucking deal with Jesse Jackson's voice? Because there's class struggle. I sat up last night and saw the South African Communist Party's stuff. They cut a deal. Am I coming with PAC? I asked Chris, who the hell am I being invited to come with? Because if you don't know my history, Chris, I came last time against Mandela's regime. And I know Patricia DeLille. And I know Tim Bagordi. And I know Tommy Plache. What is the APLPGC asking to come to South Africa again with? I know Louis Farrakhan, who rose in with the colored one from South Africa, and then jumped the hill. I rolled across to see Winnie Mandela. The APRPGC is not coming for this one. I know Billy Alexander. I know all of them. I also know the treachery in Chicago. Kwame Nkrumah called it neocolonialism. 1965, And that's why he was overthrown. I don't have to get up out of my bed. I don't have to fight. I ain't opposing. I ain't agreeing. Chris, how are we entering in South Africa?
Yes.
How will you bring the new Black Panther Party into South Africa? Understanding the contradictions, and they might not know nothing about that. I'm talking to you, Chris. Because I don't have to come. I asked Malik Zulu Shabazz not to use my name because I'm not committed to come. And certainly not to create more diamond dealers. 8 damn billionaires. I'm begging you, Chris. I'm not arguing. I'm begging you. I'm begging you. How do you want us to enter into South Africa? You can take the Black Band's party, but you will not take the AAP or PGC. Because we can sit it out. We will not enter South Africa with niggas on the payroll when we could enter South Africa with white folks who own the niggas on the payroll.
Let him answer the question.
Chris? Love you.
I'm listening. What are you saying, my brother?
The question is,
how are we entering South Africa?
How do you want us to enter South Africa?
With whom?
My brother. How do you want people to enter South Africa?
Unity.
Is that your question?
No, it's not my question, it's my order. Which is different from demand. I will not enter South Africa with confusion. I'm loving you. But your biography is no different than Sachi Masinini and Seth Cooper and all that. How can we help you? I want to work with you, my brother. I want to work with you.
Okay, Chris, how will we enter
South Africa?
Okay, brother Chris, I think the question...
My brother.
Yeah.
My brother, this is not about, let me correct something here. This is not about coming and help me. I'm not coming.
First of all, there's a confusion.
Yeah.
I have not agreed to come to South Africa. And yet I get all these emails saying I'm coming. I'm not agreeing to enter South Africa with the new Black Panther Party. I'm old, Blanford. I'm not new.
Okay, can you let him?
I love them.
Brother Bob, can you let him answer this question?
I'm going to let him answer it.
Let him just talk. Go right ahead, comrade.
I'm not sure what is your problem, but...
I have a bunch of problems.
Is that
if you ask me, I'll tell you some of them.
Let me answer you. Can you give me that to answer?
Okay. I'm not being inquisitive. I love you.
You know, I love you too, but let me make something clear here. I and brother Malik Zulu Shabazz, we started this program of realizing, of trying to unite Africans at home in diaspora.
Mm-hmm.
And...
Thank you.
Let me speak now. Can I speak now?
Thank you.
Let me be clear about that. I and brother Malik Zulu Shabazz, we started communicating, and we started strategizing how we can work together as African or as black people in diaspora. And as a result, I myself, last of last year, I went to Zimbabwe. I negotiated. I went to see some ZANU officials, and they were so excited. In fact, they were even prepared to give us a place there in Zimbabwe to hold an Africanist conference. And there were a lot of things that we were discussed, which I'm not going to divulge on radio.
So don't do Zimbabwe, because that's another problem.
I'm still talking now.
I know.
One of the duties that we agreed upon was to talk to all African, pure Africanist or pure black consciousness movement that are revolutionary inclined. Mark that one. Some kind of reformist or some kind of reformist party. Or we wanted all revolutionary movement to take part in what we are planning. So we have identified ZANU, we've identified a Black Panther, we've identified the PC, we've also identified RC, we've also identified other organizations like All African People's Liberation Party. We said those that are going to come. And there are many and other organizations, and other Africanist organizations and black organizations that I've not mentioned yet, that I'm not going to mention for other reasons. And we are not forcing anyone. We are not forcing anyone. Mark my word. We don't want people. We are not forcing anyone. We want those that are prepared to free the people, the African people or the black people, whether at home and diaspora, those that are prepared to fight. We are not some civil rights movement. If you want to remain and not be part of it, you are welcome. But we're not forcing anyone. And trust me, those that are going to be here, we're going to move on with the struggle, whether with or without you, the struggle is going to continue. And trust me, this is not just any journey. This is not just a journey of they're not just touring here. They are here for historic reasons. Trust me, when they are here, there's a lot to learn. There's a lot to be done. There's a lot of things that we need to do as African people or as black people that we're going to achieve. So, if you say you are not going to come, and no one is forcing anyone to come, those that are prepared to come, let them come. Yes, there's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of confusion all over the world. Whether in America, whether in anywhere, there's a lot of confusion. And this is where we are needed. So therefore, for one person to say one is not going to come because of confusion, then there's a problem. Don't call yourself a revolutionary or a political somebody. Because the reason why we as people, we want to unite, because we want to stop this confusion that is happening.
Let me say this.
And
And I would like you to go over the schedule to tell us.
No, don't jump.
We'll come back to that. Let me stay right on this.
No, don't do that. Chris, even if I don't come and the APLPGC does not come to Mazania this time, I would not be on this program if I didn't say that the new Black Panther Party would come. Malik Dudu Sabaz, no, I don't do interviews. I am on this internet tonight to encourage Malik Zulu Shabazz and the New Black Panther Party delegation coming to South Africa with your group. So let that be the bank position. And I know how I might have made a mistake.
Well, let me just say this, man. You let me handle this for me.
No, you put me on this program. You don't give me space.
Gotta hurry up. I'm going to be cutting you off. Now you
sorry, brother. Why are you coming for all this confusion?
I don't do that. I'm trying to help.
Well, go right ahead, man. You better start helping.
No, but how are you
helping fast? Hold, Chris. Let him talk now. You better hurry fast, sir.
Well, bye. Don't even waste time.
Well, then you stay on this phone and listen in.
No, I will not stay on this phone and listen in to stuff that I do not have an input for.
Y'all got me laughing. Let me tell the radio listening audience something. Just let me talk for a minute. Stay right here and let me talk.
Can I summon
y'all stay right here. This is the comedy hour. Hold 1 second. This is the comedy hour of Black Power Radio. Y'all hold 1 second.
We're going to do a positive program.
All right, we are. So just hold 1 second. This is my radio. I do this all the time. It's no big deal. Brothers and sisters in the radio listening audience, I want y'all to just relax for a minute and laugh for a minute. This is my uncle. This is my revolutionary uncle, Bob Brown, on this phone. Now, he has been helping me. I got to let y'all know, he has been helping me every day to get into South Africa. He has been helping me and giving me confidence and information, and I am pressing him to go. He had other things to do, and he did not want to go. But I, Malik Shabazz, believe it or not, don't take nothing from this phone conversation the wrong way. I've been pressing him to go, and I want him to go. Because he is a good information, he's a good advisor. And so this is a little awkward right now, but y'all just laugh it off. Don't worry about this. This is some silly stuff. We are all in unity on this line. Brother Chris, I want you to know that this man has been helping me every day in every way to get to you. He has been supporting me, and I'm the one that's pressing him to come. And I think he thinks I'm putting him on the spot. That I'm guarantee he's coming, and he has to get approval from other organizations he's in. So I want to be clear. No, I'm not pressing him, putting him on the spot. He's not scheduled to come, but I want him to come. And I want him to come with all of this other strong delegation that's about 10 or 15. I just want to be clear. Y'all don't worry about none of this. This is all peace. It's all good. I'm in the middle of this, and it's funny if you really understand it. But now it's serious. Let's get back serious. Brother Chris, are you still on?
Yeah, I'm on, my brother.
Okay,
we're still
on. Okay, so it's all good. We're all family. This is revolutionary family right here. Now, let me just
say
this, and we'll come back to this. But tell us about the schedule. Do tell us about the schedule, and I guess for those that are coming with us that are not in the new Black Panther Party, help them to know what they can expect is what I'm saying. For those that are coming with us that are not communicating like me and you, for those that are coming with us that even may be from other organizations, what can they expect traveling with the Panther Party on this delegation? Can you take us through that?
My brother, like I've said before, this is not just any visit. This is not just a tour. This is a historic visit. This is a historic visit. Let's repeat that. This is not just to come here and come and see the people around and fool around. This is. There's been many visits around people from diaspora, but this is a different visit, my brother. This is a historic, because people used to come here and talk and that's it. This is different, my brother. This is all about us as African or as Black people at home in diaspora to unite, to form a one liberation front. That has never happened before, but that is the most important part. Now, forming a liberation front, we know that is not an easy task. It is. We have a huge task ahead of us, but it is historic. Now, with Black Panther being here, I just want to go back to the schedule. On your arrival on the 19th, I understand you're going to arrive. You're no longer going to arrive on the 20th. You're going to arrive on the 19th, isn't it, my brother?
I think
the 19th of March.
We leave here on the 19th. We get there on the 20th.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I just got your note.
Okay, no.
We don't actually be on the ground till the 20th.
Okay. You'll be here on the 20th. Now,
yeah.
On the 20th, you'll receive some heroic welcome, and then from there, we'll go to. From there, we'll be waiting for you there to give you some heroic welcome, and then from there, we'll go straight to the PSU headquarters in Johannesburg, where we'll have some preparatory meeting there with the PSU headquarters. And then we have some our dinner there, and then from there we go back to your places where you're supposed to rest yourself for the next coming day. On the 21st of March, at early 6:30 morning a.m., we'll go to Sharpeville. We'll travel from here to Sharpeville. We'll go as early as in the morning, as you know our culture. We have to go early in the morning to go to the graveyard. So we have to go on the 21st. We will start to the graveyard at 6:30. I think we'll arrive at about it's half an hour there. It's about 7. We'll be there in Sharpeville graveyard, and then from the graveyard we'll be there and then from there we go to the Memorial center where there's a memorial, and then from there we will move to commemorate Sharpeville Day. The whole day will be commemorating Sharpeville Day. So on the 21st we'll spend our day in Sharpeville. Remember, some of your guys on the 19th they have to fly to Cape Town so that they can go there in Cape Town and commemorate there at Cape Town and Langa, where our people were shot there in Kwalanga. So some of you guys will go there in Cape Town, and then they'll also receive some heroic welcome there in Cape Town. Then
okay,
on the 22, they'll have to
right
come there
for a minute. Let's be clear for those that are listening and following the schedule. You said on the 20th, the day before the 21st, which is the commemoration of the Sharpeville massacres, that we would be given a hero's welcome at the airport, and that we would be taken to the headquarters of the Pan-Africanist Congress of Azania, the PAC headquarters in Johannesburg, for a special welcome there. Then on the morning of the 21st, be taken to the cemetery where the brothers and sisters who were massacred are murdered in Sharpeville, and then to a memorial there. And if I'm correct, the rest of the day of the 21st will be at rallies commemorating Sharpeville in Sharpeville, and also some of our other representatives from the party will be in Cape Town to also commemorate Sharpeville from Cape Town, and that's about 1,750 miles away. Am I correct?
Yes, my brother, you are correct. You are correct. Definitely.
And so we're at the 21st now, brothers and sisters who are following. Go right ahead, comrade.
Yes. And then we'll spend the whole day in Sharpeville and commemorate you there on the 21st. Then you come back to Johannesburg. You come and rest. On the 22, we'll go to Ebikosi in Nyovil, where you'll be taught about African culture and African heritage. We'll spend the whole day there in Yeovil around Johannesburg, Ebukosi. We were invited by Brother Bababantu. Bababantu is in charge of Ebukosi. We'll be spending the whole day there. And then the 23rd, we'll go to Pretoria, Tshwane, for a political workshop where we'll meet some former political prisoners from Robben Island and military veterans from APLA, and you'll also meet some students there where you'll also address those people there, and the PC will also address you on the 23rd. So we spend the whole day there in that workshop, and then after that workshop we'll have some tour there around Pretoria, and meet some local people there and see what is happening around South Africa on the same day, on the 23rd. Then we'll drive back on the 23rd. We'll come back and then to Joburg, where you rest yourself. And then on the 24th, you will go to Soweto to have a Kenaskenis International Workshop in Soweto on the 24th, where we will meet. It will be PAC, AZAPO, SOPA. AZAPO is Azanian People's Organization. SOPA, Socialist Party of Azana, of heading by the leadership of Laibon Mabaso. And all local political organizations will be there, are also invited there. So we'll be having a political workshop there. The PC will put this history, where you will learn about the PC history and all the things that went through until now. And then also the AZAPO will put its position, and SOPA will also put its position. The Black Panther will have its chance to tell us about its history and stuff, and also have some little bit of dialogue there. And then after that, if we finish early, we'll have some tour around Soweto, where you will be shown some historic places where some of the students were killed in Orlando. The first student to be killed there in Orlando. You also go to Cape Town, where the Freedom Charter was formed, where our struggle was betrayed. We'll go to other areas around Soweto. That will be on the 24th. And then on the 25th, same on the 24th, later, we'll have to travel to Eastern Cape. We'll divide our groups into two. We split our groups into two. The other group will have to go to Eastern Cape in East London with Comrade Naidu to go and meet some student, university student there for PASMA, Pan African Student Movement of Azania, there in Eastern Cape, East London, which will be, will travel on the 24th, and then on the 25th you meet those students. And then the other group will go to Limpopo, where we'll be having a African Unity Conference that will be held on the 25th and 26th. But we have to travel, we have to drive there, because it's just our drive to Limpopo in Polokwane. So on the 25th we'll be having African Unity Conference. The purpose of that conference is to celebrate African Liberation Day, number one. Number two is to craft a new road to Africa, Black unity. Also to discuss an African Unity Manifesto and adopt Africa Without Borders campaign. That is what is going to happen from the 25th and the 26th. Let me be clear now.
For you all who are listening, especially those that are in the delegation, he's telling you on the 25th and the 26th, that in the East Cape, am I correct?
Eastern Cape, yes, in East London.
Cape, there's going to be an African Liberation Conference. We're very important.
Let me correct that. In Eastern Cape, the other group will meet the past Pan African student, Eastern Cape, the Pan African student, movement of Azania. Which we are university student on the Eastern Cape on the 25th, they will meet the Pan African student of Azana. Then the other group will go to Limpopo. Limpopo is the other side of the province. In Limpopo is the northern part of northern province. The other group will go to northern province, not Eastern Cape. That group in northern province in Limpopo, it's where we'll be having an African Unity Conference. On the 25th and 26th.
Okay, and so...
Yeah, in Limpopo.
Okay, so for those that are traveling in the delegation, this is a serious conference, really, that I would like to be at on the 25th, but I have to fly to Zimbabwe to take care of
business. Yes, you fly in Zimbabwe.
With the ZANU-PF. And so that means, that lets you know the importance of those that are traveling with me and with us. And to let you know that we are going to have to be all over. We're going to have a team in Limpopo at this conference, a quality team, to represent us, and then we know you got to have a quality team with me as I move into Zimbabwe. And if you go back on the schedule to the 21st, where I will be speaking in Sharpeville and in that part of South Africa, someone else representing us, our national spokesman, our national chief of staff, will have to go to Cape Town. Secured well. What am I telling y'all? That this is a serious mission and it's challenging. And that's why we need to step up in our support of the mission and in our recognizing of the security needs of this mission. And before we get off this line, y'all got to pledge some money so that we can accomplish all of this safe and secure. But I'll get back to that. But you listen to how this has got to be carried out in less than 30 days. Go right ahead, Brother Chris.
Yes, brother. Like I said, the other group will be in Limpopo on the 25th and the 26th. They will have to travel back on the 26th. And the other group will be in Eastern Cape on the 25th and then the 26th. They have to come back. You will be in Zimbabwe already. We have already dedicated some our comrades is a member of the National Executive of the PAC, Comrade Justin Bakali. You'll be traveling with him to Zimbabwe. I understand you will be traveling between the 24th or the 24th, but you'll come back on the 26th. But you'll be going to Zimbabwe, where you may, it is a possibility that you might meet his Honorable President Robert Mugabe, because we have already arranged some appointment. If possible, you can meet them, but if you cannot meet them, you will meet some higher profile in the ZANU-PF, which we are also in contact with Comrade Mafa in Zimbabwe. So, Comrade Malik Zulu Shabazz might meet you might meet the President, the Honorable President Robert Mugabe. There's a possibility of you meeting him. So it will be three groups. On the 25th, the group will be also be, I mean, the other one, let me just clarify, the other group will be in Eastern Cape, East London, the other group, and then the other group, the second group will be in Limpopo, Polokwane, for African Unity Conference, and then the other group will have to go to Zimbabwe. So it's a very huge task, and it needs some people that are going to do that job. So it's a very busy schedule, as I've said, my brother.
Okay, dear sisters and brothers, you have just heard our schedule, and that has been laid out and organized by Brother Chris Sankar and those that are with him in the Pan-Africanist Congress of Azania. Is Bob still on? Might still be on. Okay. Just trying to make sure all my lines are right here. You've heard that schedule. That's an awesome schedule. And you heard it not from Malik Zulu Shabazz. You heard it live from South Africa. And so, you know, that is our mission. And we got to come back and do this again. We got to talk about this subject so much. We're going to come back on Wednesday night, Brother Sean. We need to come back on Wednesday night.
Yes, sir.
But right now, what I want to do is I want to take some questions for our guest. I think it's appropriate to take questions for our guest. I do want to say this. We're going to have a telethon Wednesday night where we're going to raise money live over the air. And I do want to say those right now that you've heard these words of this mission. And you've heard from a man who was a veteran in the anti-apartheid movement and have fought and trained in the frontline states and fought on the battlefield that helped overturn the wicked white racist government of South Africa. And you know that we're headed there and we need your support. And so I don't want to have to beg you. I just want to tell you to go to paypal.com. Just go to paypal.com and use the email attorney.shabazz@yahoo.com. attorney.shabazz@yahoo.com so that you can make a payment on there to support our revolutionary services. Put that payment in there and receive in return revolutionary services, liberation services that will help inspire the whole black world and build this worldwide united front for liberation. If you want a liberation front, support us in what we're doing, we will deliver. If you want a base and a place in Africa, support us and we will deliver it. So just go to paypal.com and use the email attorney.shabazz@yahoo.com and send that $500, send that $1,000, send that $200, send that $100. We need some equipment. We need some finances for housing. We need some of our security officials are short on funds. We need plane ticket money. We need some green in this black machine. So anyway, let's take some questions, but I want y'all to donate tonight. Put your hands up in the chat room and out there, and I want y'all to donate tonight. Don't make me beg. Text 502-299-8530, 502-299-8530, so you can hit that Western Union and tell Minister Sean Quali that, yes, I support this mission, and I'm going to hit the Western Union to support Malik Zulu Shabazz and the new Black Panther Party as they headed to Africa. I heard it live tonight from South Africa. I heard that they had a schedule where they were traveling all over every day. I heard that they had to get their ministers back and forth across the country. I heard that that the leader of the Panther Party is scheduled to go over there to probably meet with Mugabe. And all I got to do is help. They're going to do it 20 hours away, flying, all kind of intrigue, maybe danger. They going to do it. All I got to do is go to paypal.com and watch and support my local international revolution. All right? Now, come on. Telethon tonight. We'll have the telethon Wednesday night. Just text 502-299-8530. Tell us you're going to hit us with that Western Union right now, or tell us how you're going to go to paypal.com, or tell us how you going to support us, because we're on the front lines. Ain't no further front line than this front line. Take some questions.
All right, Black Power. Let's go right to the phone lines and our callers who don't know. You press the number one. The number is 646-478-4447, 646-478-4447. Press one to be in queue. You're on live with Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, our brother, Brother Rob Brown from the All African People's Revolutionary Party, GC, and our comrade, Chris Sankara from the PAC, Pan-African Congress. Let's go to our first caller here at area code 609-858, 609-858. You're on live with Black Power Radio, live on the air, and all your family. Black Power, your question, please. Area code 609-858, your mic is open. It's your last chance. We'll move forward.
You got Huey on hold, too, somewhere. Brother Huey Rose is on hold from a London number. Let's try to get him in.
We're going to find Huey Rose. Area code 336-419. Your mic is open. Welcome to Black Power. Your question, caller.
Yes. My question is, what do the Black Panthers plan on doing about, like, all black people being separated in America? Like, well, I stay in Greensboro, North Carolina, and it's like it ain't no type of black enlightenment, all of this gangs, this neighborhoods, this, like, people get shot because they stay in different cities. Like, I go to a club or something, they'll fight somebody from High Point just because they're from High Point. Like, a person got killed down here because he was from Greensboro. I just, Like, I don't understand how black people can be so separated over nothing.
Brother, what they need to do, and we can go into that in further shows, if you want to bring unity to your town, just text 502-299-8530. And if you will be trained by us, if you will join with us and be willing to be trained by us, you can bring a stop to the killing to your area. We will show you how to raise up a black army, a black movement, a black unity between Bloods and Crips or different gangs, and we will help train you to make a difference in your town. All right? And then you have them listening to our radio show. We got our guests from Africa on right now. And you let them know that you hooked up with some bad, bold black men that's hooked up with some other bold black men that have fought and killed a white man in South Africa, and that our real enemy is not each other, and you hooked up with some black men who know who their real enemy is.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now you text that number, and let's get trained and get going. Let's
all
go
right
to the next caller.
Okay, caller, thank you so much. Make sure you text us. We'll get that information to you, sir. Area code 347-272. Your area code is 347. First three numbers, 272. You're on live with Black Power Radio. All your comrades and family, give us your question, your comment, please. Black Power.
Black Power, National Chairman Malik Zulu Shabazz. Black Power, National Spokesman, Brother Sean. We double shout from Queens, New York.
Black
and
Power.
Black Power. I got a question for Brother Chris Sankara, if I may. We know there's a lot of confusion, and we've been sold out by a lot of brothers. How will we remind the brothers that it is better for us all to work together as opposed to selling out and taking a few little crumbs that the white man wants to offer us sometimes?
Yeah, I'm listening to that.
Out.
I've noted that. You want me to answer?
Can you hear
now?
Me, brother?
Yes, I can hear you. I can hear the question.
You can hear the question? You want me to ask it, brother?
Yes. Can you repeat that? Can you repeat what you said?
The question is this. We know there's a lot of confusion amongst us, and we black people have a lot of trust issues. How can we remind our brothers and our sisters that it is better for us all to work together as opposed to taking the little crumbs and selling out from the white man that so many of our past misleaders have done?
You know, the problem with our own people, we like complaining. We like complaining and complaining and complaining, and we die complaining. And I mean, these things have been happening since the beginning of slavery, since the arrival of the white man in Africa, when he took our people and took them for slavery. It's been happening. And we've been complaining then. And this is what, for these reasons, we decided to change things. We stop complaining and start acting. Mark that one. We stop complaining and start acting. And we have taken this action as an action of history that no one else can do it for. We as black people, no one can do it for us. No one can free us but ourselves. Now we have taken that first step, and that first step is to unite all African or black liberation movement that are for the advancement and the defense of the African people or the black people. The Black Panther is one of those. The PAC is one of those. ZANU-PF is one of those. Us, the African Socialist International, is one of those. We have taken action. Now, we cannot operate as individuals. We cannot operate as groups. Look around what is happening to the black man. There's no justice for a black man. Whether you are in America, whether you are in Africa, there's no justice. And it is only it is the white man who is doing all these things that are happening. Now, if we can start to look around us, look at how our sufferings are, and start acting and stop complaining, start acting. By start acting is to join one of those movements, is to join the Black Panther, is to support the Black Panther, whether you are that side or is to support the peace, is to support Zion, is to support us, be part of something, to be part of something that will make a difference. This thing of supporting these white these Democrats and whatever, they are playing with you guys. We need
yes, sir.
Be part of something. We need to, after all, the purpose of our human essence is to make a difference. We start joining, we start training ourselves, we start reading the books, we start having political classes, we start organizing ourselves, mobilizing and mobilizing and mobilizing. Then we start one liberation front, whether you are at home and diaspora. We because the only person who's losing here, it's us. The enemy, we are playing in the hands of the enemy by allowing ourselves to be divided. Every time we operate as individuals or we operate as groups, we rather operate as one. If we are one, I can assure you that we will win this war. And we are starting that as Black Panther, as PAC, as ZANU and other liberation movements. We are starting that. We are starting to make a difference. And it is for you, the black men, to start joining this movement. Because if you are sitting there at home complaining and doing nothing, it won't make a difference. Remember, we're not only doing this for ourselves, but we are doing it for the generation to come. We don't want our children to suffer. We don't want to see our grandchildren to suffer. We are doing this for the generation to come. It is time now we need to make a difference. That Kwame Nkrumah, Marcus Garvey has played his part. Let us make our part. This is our time. This is our chance to make history. We cannot allow a situation where Marcus Garvey, Dr. Khalid Mohammed, and all others, brother, you with have died for nothing. We have to carry on with the struggle, and we have to change this because the enemy is always is 10 steps ahead. As long as we are divided, they are 10 steps or 100 steps ahead. We need to change that. Now, it is to answer that, my brother, we need to unite. You need to take part in the struggle. Do your role. Everyone has a skill to participate. You, whether you are an engineer or doctor, an attorney, or whatever you are, there is something that you can do in the revolution. And I can assure you, if we are united as Africans, we'll go far. That is what I can remind my brothers and sisters there at home in diaspora. I hope I've answered your question, my brother.
Right. Let's bring another call in. Good answer, brother. Let's bring another call in, Minister Sean.
All right. Yes, sir. Let's see here. We have area code 504-432. You're on live with Black Power Radio with our brother Chris Sankara, our brother Bob Brown, of course, our national chairman, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz. Your question, caller, Black Power.
Okay, Black Power, Soul Power, brother. Now, my question
Black Power,
is,
my brother.
Okay, my question is this. You know, I can go on and on since you have the our brothers from over there in Africa. My question would be, why was Muammar Gaddafi killed?
Well, you know, brother, that's a good subject almost
that's a good question.
For
that's
the
a
show.
Good question,
I would just say this. Because we're trying to get questions here
no,
on
it's
our
a good question.
South
it's a good
Africa,
question.
Trying to maybe stay focused on South Africa, but in one word, black man, he was killed because he opposed the Western or white man's interest in Africa, which is to dominate Africa, and he, Gaddafi, was for African liberation, or for what's called the United States of Africa. That's the short answer to it, and it's a lot more to it, but that's the short answer to it, black man. So you listen in here and listen back in on Wednesday night.
All right,
and you
brother,
just
Malik,
in
you're
tune, and
job,
we will answer
brother.
Those questions. And then
can I also answer that one, my brother? Can I also answer that one?
Okay, go right ahead. We have about 10 minutes left on the internet radio, so go right ahead.
Yes, my brother. That is a very relevant question because that is why we are finding ourselves in this situation. Brother Gaddafi, he was one of the great people who have been pushing the issue of unity among the African, unity among the African. In fact, he was prepared to not only talk, but
to channel his money to see to it that Africa becomes a one Africa. But they realized, the imperialists realized that this man is becoming a danger to their own interest. So that is why Gaddafi was killed. He was one man who was also supporting PAC in the armed struggle. Actually, we were supported. Abla was trained in Libya. They were given money and whatnot. He gave a lot for the liberation of Africa. So he was prepared to put his money where his mouth is. Financially and militarily, he was prepared to support the PAC and the United States, the program of uniting the African people. It is for this reason people like Gaddafi were killed. It is for this reason people like Kwame Nkrumah were killed. It is for this reason people like Thomas Sankara were killed. It is for this reason people like Petrus Lumumba were killed. It is because those people were speaking United Africa. So it is not an easy journey in Africa. My fellow brothers there, when you speak about unity, the enemy is listening and explaining for us. So we should not just talk. We should act now. We should act now. It is for this reason I'm asking my brothers there to assist, to support our brothers in Black Panther financially and otherwise, and physically and other way they can support. Support them so that they can go to this historic journey that is not easy, but it is very important for us as African, whether at home and diaspora. Let us support them. That it is my plea that people, we need to change this, because if we don't do that, all of us will just disappear like nothing. We need to work towards this unity of African people all over. Thank you, brother.
All right. So, brothers and sisters, you heard it for yourself. This mission is not easy. It's challenging. It's even dangerous. But it's absolutely necessary. You don't sign up for a job. Who signs up for a job where half of the people that went before you was assassinated? Not many of you would sign up for that job. Yet we who are in leadership, who have to walk this path and have to get to the goal, must walk this path. And your job is to support spiritually, to support politically, to support physically, and to support financially, because we will get to the goal. And the tide is turning in our favor in the year 2013. Let's take another call.
Yes, sir. We'll go to the phone line. I believe this is International Ambassador Huey Rose. Huey Rose, are you on with us, sir? Black Power. Huey Rose, are you on with us?
Right,
Huey Rose is not on with us. We got Eric.
Huey Rose, quick. Tell Sister Ho real quick. We're going to keep going on the phone lines after 10 o'clock. Let's try to get Huey on in the next, right away. Sister
okay,
Ho, one second, Queen. Let's see if we can get our international ambassador on.
Trying to find Minister Huey Rose. Let me see. Huey Rose, is this your number? Are you on with us, sir? Black Power. All right, we're going to need Huey Rose to press number one. Huey, press one if you're listening so we can find you in the queue, sir. We can find you in the queue because you're not showing up. Waiting to see if Huey Rose, because I know he was on earlier.
All right, well, then we take a call, and we just take the call straight up.
Yes, sir.
Or we need to go to announcements. Let me do that.
Okay.
We'll stay on the phone lines. The phone lines here, if you're on the Internet and you want to get in on the phone line, go to 646-478-4447. We're going to extend the session another 20 minutes with our guest from Africa. Our guest from the liberation movement in Africa. And this is what you call a VIP session. This is exclusive session. Well, the devil
right.
is listening as well. I don't know how exclusive it is, but it's exclusive for you.
Yes,
right. 646-478-4447. That's wild. You have to talk to God and the devil at the same time. 646-478-4447 is the number that you can call in to stay on the line about this conversation here between our brother organization, the PAC and the NBPP, who have a liberation pact, and it's lawful and legal. It's a lawful and legal pact, Cracker, between the PAC and the NBPP. And I'm honored to develop this pact and the pact with the other greats, Azapo and the others, as we build this alliance all across America. And now on Chicago on Friday, on February 22nd, I will keynote a special town hall meeting in Chicago on the Savior's Day weekend, February 22nd. The subject matter of this meeting is called A Message and Advice to President Barack H. Obama. Message and Advice to President Barack H. Obama. And that will take place at the Marcus Garvey Institute. Is that right?
That's right.
The
Marcus Garvey Cultural Institute.
Marcus Garvey Cultural Institute. Give out that address, Minister Sean.
Yes, sir. The address is 11006 South Michigan Avenue. Again, I repeat, that's 11006 South Michigan Avenue. Doors open at 6 p.m. Central Time.
6 p.m. Central. I will keynote an open town hall meeting, but I won't be long because it's for the people. Brother Bob Brown will be with me, but he won't be long because it's for the people. And others are scheduled to be with us. And the open town hall meeting will be to discuss openly the presidency of Barack Obama and what it means to the Black Agenda. This meeting is about the Black Agenda 2013 and message and advice to the president. And how does it relate to the Black Agenda? And what is the Black Agenda? And so we're going to talk about jobs. We're going to be talking about education. We're going to be talking about the killing in Chicago and all over the nation. We're going to be talking about foreign policy, talking about Africa, talking about South Africa. And we're going to talk to a black man who is in office, Barack Obama. And it is going to be webcast, and it's going to be webcast right this time. I'm telling you, if this ain't webcast right, I'll resign on Friday. And you know I'm going to tell you that right now. You hit this text button. If this webcast don't come off right, in Chicago on Friday. So, Sean, either you're going to be the chairman.
That's pressure. You're going to
get this webcast right, Doctor. Okay?
Yes, sir.
We're going to talk to this man. And it's going to be fair and balanced. And you got to hear what I have to say. We're going to cover all of the positives and the negatives. We're going to cover all of that. I'll be off the radio in a few moments. I know there are others who want to speak to me. I'm coming to you in just a few moments. But we're on now with our guest from South Africa. And we want y'all to tune in who are in South Africa. Tune in to the webcast on newblackpanther.com, www.newblackpanther.com. And if we don't come on newblackpanther.com, you'll have a new chief of staff come next Friday. And since you don't want to have a new chief of staff next Friday, you should tune in to www.newblackpanther.com. So you can check the broadcast out in South Africa, because we have something to say. Dear brothers and sisters, we're going to talk to this man. Many of you love this man. I understand it. Many of you admire a black man and his wife, Michelle Obama, and Sasha and Malia. My daughter, Cece Shabazz, is here. She has even gone out there publicly with her support for Barack Obama. Others of you revolutionary, black, conscious, Pan-Africanist people, serious thinkers, have been disappointed. Some of you didn't even expect anything from the beginning. Others who were even marginally hopeful have become disillusioned or disappointed. Some of you have even had to duck from the sight of drone maybe flying over your revolutionary head. We got to have to talk. Come on out, brothers and sisters. It's Friday so we can go over the black agenda, the pros and the cons of President Obama, and how the black community can send a righteous message to the White House, a righteous message that could possibly make a change, but a change must come.
All right. Go ahead.
Friday in Chicago. That South Africa, look, give us this money on PayPal. We got Chris on the line. We want your questions. But straight up, come on, brothers and sisters. We're going on a mission that you could be assassinated going on. Give up this goddamn money. www.paypal.com. PayPal.com. Don't punk out on me now. Attorney.Shabazz@yahoo.com is the email. I got to get security over there. I got to get men over there that don't have no money, but they're ready to kill and die in legal and lawful self-defense.
That's right.
Y'all help me out. I got to house people. I got to make sure that we don't get trapped behind enemy lines. And don't you stress me out if you don't help me out. Attorney.Shabazz@yahoo.com. This is the real deal. This ain't no damn Facebook revolution. You've reached the top lines in America.
Teach.
All right, now I'm sorry about all that, but y'all go right ahead.
Real talk. We'll take another call here as we wait for.
Oh, for Chris only. Talk to our guest. Let me be quiet for a minute.
Yes, sir. You straight. Area code 215-982. 215-982. You're on live. Black Power Radio. You have a question or comment, Black Power?
Black Power, Black Power family. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
All right, to our guest, Brother Chris Sankora, and to our chairman, Malik Zulu Shabazz, and to all out there listening. All right, I like to let y'all know that I believe and I trust, and I know we believe and we trust in our chairman and his counsel that he has behind him. You know, and I was very inspired by when they were going through their differences and through their ideologies and whatnot, and they was calling it the comedy hour. But I'm glad that the chairman got that other side in his ear also. And I'm confident. I'm willing to give my life, you know, for this mission. You know, we're going over there to help our people. We're going over there to do what we must do. All black people must unite and defend and define and develop what's in the best interest of black African people. That's why we're here.
Let's call my brother.
That's our purpose. Black power, and I'm inspired. That's my comment.
All right. Yes, sir. So this brother Haru, right? It's brother Haru from Philly?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right, I'm right here. I'm back. Is brother Chris still on?
Yes, sir. He's still
here. Yeah, I'm still on.
All right.
Yes, I'm still on.
All right, so, you know, now let's go. I guess we're not going to hold you too long. We just might have to have you back. You know, we have a campaign going, and we're 30 days out. And we have a campaign going, dear Brother Chris, where we're educating the population here in America about what's happening in Azania, about what's happening in Zimbabwe. And I have been blessed already to do some work in America with the Zimbabwe ambassador and have done some work here. And so we want to do more work in America to support Zimbabwe, and we want to do more work in America to educate the masses of the people as to the truth of what's happening in South Africa, because the people don't know. The people don't know the real situation in South Africa. They think South Africa is totally free and totally liberated. And so I am well situated here. Not only is the new Black Panther Party here, but I am also right here in the head of Washington, D.C., and I'm also an attorney, and I have lawyers and judges that I am connected with across this country, and I have access, and we have access to Congress. We have access to the centers of power here, and the bottom line to it is we're in a position to help Black people in Africa to the best degree we can, right over here in America and in the head of the snake right here in the United States of America.
That's right.
So let's do this, brother. Is there any more calls?
Yes, sir. There are some more calls.
Take a few calls, and we're going to let our guests go. And I'm just going to tell everybody out there, y'all should be calling in, coming in on the queue line right now, telling us that you just hit that PayPal. And be texting Minister Sean at 502-299-8530. Texting Minister Sean at 502-299-8530 to let him know that you have just hit us at PayPal to support us, and you have just put some money behind this mission. Because we sure going to deliver by God's grace. Let's go to the next caller.
Next caller, thank you for your patience. We're here. We're driving. Area code is 813-802. You're on live with Black Power Radio, your national chairman, our brother right there in Azania, South Africa, Chris Sankara, and myself. Talk to us. Black Power, what's your question, comment?
Black Power, assalamu alaikum, all honor and respect to Dr. Khalid Muhammad. Dr. Attorney, Chairman, I love the most, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz. What's happening, comrade, brother, Chairman?
Peace, God. What's happening with you, black man?
Man, I'm down here in Tampa, Florida, working in practice till they came, you know what I'm saying? See the Panther Party.
Work.
Down here working, thrive. Well, I'm trying to obtain more information about Africa. I know I just dumped my head back in. I've been trying to get city right here in Tampa on the way, but I'm trying to get to Africa. I need to find out what I got to do, trying to raise some money with it, because this is a glorious trip, a beautiful trip, and know my people and gain the knowledge of my people and also fight for my people. Send us some money on Friday, I get paid, but my question is, what are we planning to do here in Africa of America? For our black folks here in America, also abroad, but strategize our people under a more common black power movement. Now, salute us for going to Africa, strengthen our people, gaining knowledge. Marcus Garvey.
I'll tell you what we're going to do right now for the next 30 days. What we're going to do for our brothers and sisters in the next 30 days, dear brother Ali, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, good to talk to you, one of our best activists. What we're going to do in the next 30 days for our people in America is we're going to educate them about Africa. That is our mission of the party right now. We want every chairman, every representative that's on this line, no matter what your capacity is, we want you to focus the whole nation's interest on Africa and educating them about South Africa and about Zimbabwe and educating them about the areas where their leadership is going. This is what we're focused on for just 30 days. And if we feel that if our people and our brothers and sisters understand, number one, who they are and where they came from, and how their name got to be the names that they got to now and what they were before their names were changed, then we're giving the Panther Party an opportunity now at education. The trip by your leadership is a chance for you to educate the population on South Africa, educate them on apartheid, educate them on racism, educate them on where we're going. And if you will stay locked tuned with us, we're going to raise up a new generation of young people that are following our movement, and they'll follow this trip to South Africa. They will watch the webcast and the videos that come back. And I will guarantee you in 30 days that you'll have a new cadre. You'll have a new circle or cipher of youth around you that will be ready to fight this revolution right in Tampa, Florida. We got to wake our people mind up, Brother Ali, right now. Everybody seize the time and seize this opportunity to wake up the people that you know and let them know that this is not just some local problem. And you're somewhere in New York or Tampa or Atlanta or Georgia thinking that this is a problem with just your local police department, a local cracker sheriff, local racist county commissioner, local issues and local problems. And we're asking you all to tune up and to recognize that this is to understand that this is a worldwide problem, and to get the brothers and sisters around you to follow our trip and follow our speeches and our lectures as we go through this trip, so they can understand that they are a part of a worldwide revolution and the worldwide problem of worldwide white supremacy, worldwide white racism, worldwide white capitalism, and that we're fighting for worldwide black power, worldwide, liberation, worldwide salvation. I'm telling you, if you all will listen to me on this line and listen to the man we have on this line teach you about Africa and teach you about how as a young man he was not fighting and killing himself, but he was training to use his AK-47 on his open enemy, then maybe you'll put that AK-47 down in Chicago, put it down in New York, put it down in Florida, and know that your guns are for your true enemy alone and not for your brother or sister in the black nation. So I'm telling you, Panther Party, seize the time. If you're going to go to Africa, then goddammit, rise up and let's go. If you say you serious about this struggle, this is the borderline. And for those that are really serious and you're going to qualify and through the Defense Department and get you a security clearance, if you pass that and you go, then you're ready for the next level. But if you've got that Africa on your sleeve and you know that you are a ranking official here and you ain't fighting to go, then you got to question yourself.
That's right.
Anyway, everybody can't go, but some know they should be going, and bottom line is enough are going. We got to speak in several cities. I need 20 or 30 brothers and sisters well-trained. I need about 30 awesome, well-trained to go over there right now. Anyway, let me stop complaining and taking up all the time. I want to say, again, to stay positive, this is a blessed opportunity. If you're not going, use the chance to educate our people. That's what this can do. And when we get back, dear brother, when we get back, y'all welcome us back in the right way. And
right.
God damn it, I got to be straight with you. If we going over there, you better get prepared in the 30 days to take over in case we don't come back.
That's
come on,
real talk.
So you need to be taking 30 days to be the awesomest, best, coldest soldier that you ever been, because this ain't no guarantee.
No, sir.
Flat out.
You know, and it ain't no mystery guy here. So you got to, everybody got
sir.
To tighten up and straighten up right away, cut all the bullshit, and unite as one and get our backs and have our backs and pray to Allah we get back and you run the thing while we out.
Yes, sir.
Now, this is where we're going to the next level. All right? So everybody just get it right. We ain't got to, you know, let's go to the next caller. Y'all get this thing right and exact right now. Let's go to the next caller.
Black Power.
Black Power. Thank you so much, Brother Ali from Tampa, Florida. Much love. Next call here is area code 469. Area code 469-335. 469 is area code. First three is 335. You're on live with Black Power Radio and your family. Give us your question or your comment, please, Black Power.
Salaam alaikum, Brother Traveling, Brother Minister, Brother Yahshua Abdul Muhammad out of Dallas, Texas.
Hey,
Brother Malik, I got a twofold question. Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, sir, we can hear you.
All right, in your town meeting on Friday up there in Chicago, I want you to speak on Musa. You know, Musa was Moses. He was sent to Egypt to free our people. He was half original. So is Barak. And if we study the Quran, we know Musa was sent to Egypt. Well, we know Egypt is America. You know, Dr. Khaled taught us on Musa and who he was and when he was coming. My second question, when you go to Africa, and I'm going to call it Africa, even though Dr. Khaled said never to call it Africa, named Dr. John Africana. The true name of Africa is Kemet, which is the land of the black, invaded by some imposter whites. So make
sure
you
start teaching. Well, hold one second. Now you're going to make me stop for a second. Now I got to stop on that. You there?
I'm here.
Now, first of all, loving you. Love your spirit and all of that. I feel from your spirit you're with me. And we can get back to the teaching on Musa and all of that in another broadcast. I would like to get into that. I have our guest from Africa on, and I want him to answer your question. But I don't want to let that pass where you say that Dr. Khaled Muhammad said never to call it Africa. Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad said never to call it Africa. To be honest with you, just to straighten that out, not being combative with you. I just want to be clear on that. I, like you, my dear brother, understand that when you search the origin of the term Africa, it has names that come from outside sources, Africanus and Africanus, historian and a pope, and they are technically white names. Am I right or wrong?
You're correct.
And so then you have other names like Kemet. Some say a Cubalon. Some have all kind of names, right? But I'm going to tell you why Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad said to use Africa. That despite all of that, that the name that we still must use is Africa, even though anthropologically or scientifically or historically we know that there could be another name. And you know why? Because for political reasons, for liberation reasons, for revolutionary reasons, based on the need for proper communication, it's the wisest thing, it's the wisest name to stick with right now. Brother, do you know it would take another 200 years to get the whole black masses all over the world to change from Africa to Kemet? You'd have to be all over there in Uganda saying, no, don't say Africa, say Kemet. It would take years. So even though the lessons of the Nation of Islam say, why does the devil call our people Africans? And goes on to give an answer.
Okay, can I also answer that?
Yeah, I want you to answer that. I'm going to be quiet, but I got a statement for you. Why do we say call it? I got a question for you. Why do we say we must call it Africa? And that's because we all can support the name, the land, who everybody got a common name by. When you call that name Africa, it puts something in your mind, go right to the continent. All them other names would take hundreds of years to change, but this one right now is the best way to communicate to get to where we got to go. Brother Chris, go right ahead.
Can I answer that, brother?
Go right ahead.
Africa has been dead. I just want to correct my brother there. The word Africa has been there before any white man. Let me tell you about this guy, Africa. No, this guy is not actually his name. I forgot his name, what is. He was called Afrikaner because he was a slave catcher. Because they were Africans. He was a good slave catcher, that person. So he was called an Afrikaner. But Africans were already there. They were already being Africans. The word African has already been there. African is an indigenous name. Don't allow the white man to confuse you. Don't allow the white man confuse you about the word African. The word African has been there. We've been always been Africans. Even the beginning of civilization, anywhere, we've always been African. That man was called Afrikaner because he was a slave catcher. He chased the African people, and he was called that because he was able to catch the African in his own way. But the word African has always been there, my brother. Let us just correct that. African is not a white man's name. It's not a Roman man's name. It's an African name. It's not. We are not being called by somebody. We've been always been African. Let us just correct that. For us, being an African is not an insult. So I just want to correct my brother concerning that. We've been always been Africans, even before the white men. Did you get that?
Yes, sir.
Did you get that,
sir.
Brother?
Yes, sir, I did,
so
beloved.
The word African...
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, the word African...
We're still on.
Okay.
An African, my brother, it's nobody else but a person who was historically, indigenously, and is a native from Africa. He comes from nowhere, but he comes from Africa. You can only find him in Africa. They were even the beginning of civilization. They've been there in the beginning of history. African has been there. So the word African, it represented the indigenous, the descent people of Africa. Nobody else. There's no white man who was called African. An African, it was an Afrikaner. It was a name that was. It was his nickname. It was not his real name. That man. So let us correct that. An African is not a white man's name. It is our. It's our name. It's not a slavery name. It's our name. We are not being using a white man's name. So let us correct that. No white man ever called us African. Are we clear, my brother?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. That's a good bit of history,
yeah.
There. And brother Yashua, thank you so much for your question.
Not a problem, beloved. Thanks for your answer and your education.
So much.
One love
for the question. One love, peace, and black power. Let me get the chairman back on his phone that dropped off. But we're still live on Black Power Radio and enjoying the conversation. This is a brilliant conversation. We got texts coming in, tweets coming in off of Twitter, Facebook. Everybody's enjoying this conversation. And so yes, sir, Brother Chairman, we're gonna put you on right now, sir. And so we have with us now, back with us, our national chairman, back online, Black Power.
All right, I'm just listening in. Go ahead.
Okay. All right, we'll take another call.
He answered the question on Africa, right?
Oh, yes, sir. He answered already.
All right, yeah, go right ahead to the next call.
Okay. Next caller here, you're on live with brother Chris Sankara, our national chairman, Dr. Malik Zulu-Shabazz. Give us your question and comment. We're talking about Africa, Revolutionary Roots 2013, our history, and so much more. Your question, your comment. You're on live, caller. 214-672. You're on live. Your question, please, Black Power.
Black Power. Hey, this is definitely
Black Power.
Power, I'll pay this to a lot. To our national chairman, Dr. Rikuddin Malik Kudu Shabazz, the Supreme Council, Brother Hakeem Abdul Muhammad. Hey, I promise not to be long, but I promise to be strong for coming on this program. Brother Yashua and I were talking about Minister Farrakhan and the flight that we had taken and how he had been the national chairman for doing the Million Man March. The first time I seen the national chairman, I was saying to Brother Connor, the Black Power, I said, Brother, that brother kind of tall. He said, no, he's not kind of tall. He's a giant. He said, matter of fact, Cubby and Dolly stayed with him. This was over two decades ago, maybe about 22 years ago. And we were doing a fundraiser here in Dallas at the Virginia Black Academy, the Arts Letters. So Brother Colin was sitting down, and I went and stood with the brother and looked up to him. I said, brother ain't tall. He is a giant. And that's what he was doing, was raising funds, bringing up our brother after the assassination attempt on the Black Power General. Brother Malik, we love you very much. Brother Chris, he all we got. When we get him to you, y'all do well by him because we need y'all love and we want you to care for us as well as we love you. We just want to know, do you really care about us? And if you really love us, when we come, we'll embrace you as brothers because we share in our paper. The Muhammad speaks. It's the messenger. The most honorable Elijah Muhammad's first copy
It has Africa hands reaching to America across the world. So now here we see history to be made, and we just want to know, you to know that you are our comrade, and you feel free with our brother, because our brother can teach you as well as you can teach us, and we extend much love to everybody, and we painted the front row to go rail. God damn it, as a Supreme Captain, I'm going to be mad at the son of a bitch if I can't go with Brother Malik, because he's been running by himself too long. He needs some help. And every little bit that he can get, we appreciate it, people. And we love you. And we beat you the way we come. As your Supreme Captain of the new Black Panther Party, Black Power yesterday, Black Power today, God damn it, Black Power tomorrow. Black Power, Black Power, Black Power.
Brother Sean, you can thank you, sir.
Yes, my brother.
All right. Black Power. Thank you so much, Brother Captain, Supreme Captain, New Black Panther Party, Brother Hakeem, Dallas, Texas. We'll take another call here as we're still on live. This will be our last call of the night. Area code 973-280. Your area code is 973, first three numbers, 280. You're on live with Black Power Radio and our brother from across the water, but family, Brother Chris Sankara, and your national chairman, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz. Give us your question, your comment, please, Black Power. Area code 973-280. Your mic is open. Question or comment?
Black Power.
All right, Black Power.
Hey, what's going on, Black Power? I didn't even know I was online. I didn't even call in for the comment. But, you know, I plan to make the trip with, our national chairman, to step up to that plate, to bring Black Power abroad, with our people, building our people in Africa. Man, I'm ready.
That sounds like Brother Sharif. Is that Brother Sharif?
Yes, sir, Black Power.
Hey, Black Power, Black man, Black Power. We gotta get you on board ASAP and get all your stuff in, brother.
Yes, sir. I gotta get my stuff in, man. I'm ready to go.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, you have any question for our national chairman who's on the line, or our brother Chris Sankara with the Pan African Congress? Why you on?
I didn't have no specific question, other than, to congratulate our chairman, giving us continuous leadership, guidance, and direction, and moving the Black nation forward, and building that united front with our brothers and sisters in Africa. I didn't have no specific question, other than the Black Power salute.
Okay. Black Power salute return. Thank you so much. Brother Sharif, and we look forward to rolling with you, making history there in Azania, South Africa, my brother, and across the continent.
Yes, sir. I look forward to it. Black Power.
Black Power. Brother Chairman, we will. That's the last call for the night, Black man. We yield the floor to you and Brother Chris for closing comments. Are they still on? Okay, I think the chairman that fell off again. Hold 1 second, bro. I'm wondering why he's so quiet. I'm wondering why he's so quiet. He fell off the line. I'm steady going. We're gonna pull the national chairman back on the line so that he can have his final comments. And we thank everybody who's tuned in with us live. Yes, sir. Okay, Brother Chairman, you're back on the air. So we got you on now.
All right. I'm sorry. My phone going in and out here. Where are we at, Brother Sean? Do we need to continue on or do we need to wrap it?
No. We got the floor to you for closing comments. Took the last call in now. Brother Chris and Carl's phone had dropped. Same time yours had dropped. So we're at closing comments right now.
It's dropped out. Okay, brothers and sisters, we got to go. Brother Sean, we need to come back here. I don't know, man. We need to come back. I don't know. We need to be raising some money hard next Monday. But anyway, let's get through Friday in Chicago. For those that are going on this delegation with us to Chicago, we need to get that straight right away. And we need to be back on here for a telethon, and I'm going to get off this phone, and I'll call you back, Sean, so we can handle our business. All right, brothers and sisters, Black Power, let's take care of business.
Black Power. Brothers and sisters, you have been tuned in for the past few hours listening to our Black Power radio broadcast, where we are telling you about Revolutionary Roots 2013, the new Black Panther Party's triumphant entry, or triumphant return home into Azania, South Africa, and there in Zimbabwe and Cape Town and other areas. And this is a historic trip, and hopefully our comrade from the Pan-African Congress, Brother Chris Sankara, has done an excellent job of explaining to you the importance of the trip and the significance of why we are going. And so, again, we ask for your support, not to beg or anything, but to make this mission go successful. And as I always have said, the New Black Panther Party is weak in asking and does not ask its people for support. And we're going to turn that around as we put our necks on the line, as Minister Malcolm used to say, and we stick our heads out there. We have to have the support of the people. Otherwise, the movement will not continue. So support your brothers and sisters, and support these sincere black men and black women. Support the national chairman and his effort, Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu-Shabazz, to continue the mission of the Black Power General, the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad, who lives on and who first lit this spark of Africa, South Africa, and Black Power, and lit it up here in the hells and smells of North America. And we're carrying out the legacy and carrying out his vision and carrying out his mission. And so help us how you can. Go to PayPal.com right now. PayPal.com right now. Use the email attorney.shabazz@yahoo.com. attorney.shabazz@yahoo.com. For many of you, it's tax season. Spend some of them tax dollars. Get some of them dead peckerwood presidents up out of your pocket. Lift the weight up off of you. Get the burden off of you and help us with this mission to get there successfully and defend our people and represent our people and link up with our brother and hopefully the Honorable President Robert Mugabe and so many others over there so that we can build a real, real African united front at home and abroad. And so continue to support this mission in terms of the New Black Panther Party, all who do. Our email is nbpphq@yahoo.com. One more time, that's nbpphq@yahoo.com. For those of you who need applications on how to join this movement, you text 502-299-8530. 502-299-8530 to get an application to join the boldest revolutionary Pan-Africanist black nationalist black power group of black men and black women in the United Snakes of America and in the hells and smells of North America, the New Black Panther Party, the students of the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad, the Black Power General. I'm your brother and soldier in arms and national spokesman Sean Saddam Kweli, signing off for another beautiful power-packed edition of Black Power Radio. I say stay tuned. You never know when we're going to pop up. Might pop up on a Wednesday. Might pop up on a Thursday. Might pop up Tuesday. For darn sure, going to pop up next Monday as we push and continue to drive for Revolutionary Roots 2013, where your brothers and sisters return home. And we say it's black power to black people. It's all power to the people. And remember this, if you don't remember nothing else, if black people are not free, nobody's free. Black power.
We give them 24 hours in South Africa to get out of town by Sunday. I say if they don't get out of town, we kill the men, we kill the women, we kill the children, we kill the babies, we kill the blind, we kill the crippled, we kill the crazy, we kill the faggots, we kill the lesbians. I said, God damn it, we kill them all. He said, well, why kill them all?